In this lesson, let's look at three more analogies used by the Apostle Paul to teach important truths about the privileges and responsibilities of the believer in Jesus Christ. The first one is that of an athlete and is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Paul also uses the analogy of an athlete in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul compares some of the traits of an athlete to those that should also be seen in the life of the believer. Training, for example. An athlete must be dedicated to train for his or her sport, and that includes learning the rules of his or her sport. Conditioning is another aspect of the athlete that should also characterize the believer. An athlete must exercise and condition themselves to be physically fit to excel in their sport. Also, there is in the athlete a burning desire to win. They set a goal for themselves to be successful in their sport, and they strive for that goal with great desire and zeal. If the believer is going to be successful in our walk and service for the Lord, we need to imitate these traits and aspects of the life of an athlete in the spiritual realm. Our training, for example. Just like an athlete learns the rules that govern their sport and then learns the fundamentals of that sport, they learn what techniques are the most successful, and they do the exercises that will most enhance the muscles that will enhance their performance in that particular sport. And they also avoid those things that would be a detriment to them being successful. In the spiritual realm, we should also do these very things. In 2 Timothy 1, 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul writes this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The term there, sound mind, it means to have a disciplined mind, one that's been trained. The believer is to have that kind of a mind concerning the will of God. That means that we are to judge everything in the light of whether or not it enhances or hinders our ability to win the prize that has been set before us. We are to know the will of God, and we are to know the things that please Him, and we are to know the things that displease Him. That can only come from studying the Word of God and letting His Word train our mind, discipline our mind, shape our thoughts in every area of life. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, where the author of Hebrews also uses this same analogy of an athlete, of a runner. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." May we not let anything slow us down or hinder us from running this race course, which is simply a life lived in the will of God. Our life lived in the will of God is like a race course that has been laid out before us. God has preordained our life and the events of that life and all that we experience, and we are simply to run this race, live this life according to how God has laid it out for us, those preordained good works that we are to walk in. Like the athlete, we are to be zealous. We are to be desirous of being successful in this Christian race of ours. We are to be eager and prepared to carry out the will of God, just like an athlete that can't wait to get on the track and start running. May we have that same eagerness, that same zeal to do the things that please the Lord as we anticipate the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we read these words, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is the kind of attitude that God is looking for in his children, a godly zeal to do the things that honor him, not looking at your Christian walk and the loving instructions of God for every area of your life as some kind of burden that we have to bear, but rather to be zealous, prepared, ready to do what he's asked us to do in his word. When you watch the Olympics, when they come around, you are told of the consuming desires and efforts of different Olympians who sacrificed everything just to win the prize and the glory and the wealth that go along with winning their particular race or their particular event. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 to 14, Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14, we are told that there is a prize that is set before us that we can win if we will run with patience and run with zeal, and that if we will train and prepare and exercise in order to obtain the prize. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Saints, may we dedicate ourselves to learning the will of God for our life and exercising our faith that leads to obedience, to do the will of God in every area of our life. May we have a burning desire to win Christ as our bridegroom, and to abandon everything that would hinder us from being pleasing to him. The next analogy that the Apostle Paul uses for the Christian walk is found in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 10, and that is the analogy of a farmer. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. James uses this same analogy of a farmer in James chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8. James chapter 5 verses 7 and 8. James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. A good farmer is characterized by patience, despite the hard and tiring and unending work. But he does all of that with the desired end in mind, that harvest that he looks to. The Christian needs the mentality of the farmer who is willing to plod along day after day, doing the things that nurture the harvest for his sake as well as for the sake of everyone else who benefits from his crop. God is able and has and does bring about miraculous, instantaneous things in our lives, that's true. But he does everything with eternity in mind. That is the ultimate harvest that God has in mind and that we need to keep in mind. And sometimes the fruit that will be harvested in that eternal day, it takes a lifetime to cultivate. Generally, the work of bringing spiritual fruit in our life, in the life of those around us, it takes a lifetime of nurturing and tending to the things that allow the spiritual fruit to grow in us. Too many people look at Jesus as a quick fix for their problems rather than a lifetime commitment to allow the grace of God to change us into the very image of his Son. The harvest that I desire when Christ returns is that I have allowed the Holy Spirit to have worked in me everything that God's grace affords, and that I have encouraged and helped the same fruit, the same spiritual eternal fruit, to grow in as many other people as I possibly can. That's the harvest that I'm looking forward to, and I believe that God would have me to look to. In John 15 and verse 16, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. John chapter 15 and verse 16. John 15 and 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That spiritual fruit is produced through labor and sacrifice, through the difficult trials of life, just like a farmer toils day after day after day. Sometimes the life of the believer seems to be full of labor and sacrifice and trials. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, James speaks of the need to have patience, just like the farmer. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give you the wisdom to be patient through every experience in life as you do the will of God in anticipation of the coming of the Lord and that eternal harvest of spiritual fruit that will be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Patience and faithfulness in the trials will result in the joyful harvest of the glory of God at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last analogy that we'll consider in this lesson is that of a builder. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15, Paul uses yet another analogy, and this time it's that of a builder. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. We are to build our spiritual life, and we are to help others to build theirs. A good builder uses the best quality building material available. In the spiritual realm, we should do the same. In Ephesians 4, verses 14 to 16, Ephesians 4, verses 14 to 16, we read these words, Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The spiritual edifying of the body of Christ is the same as building up our spiritual life. We are the temple of the living God. We are a dwelling place for God, and our life is to be built with the gold and the silver and the precious stones of the sound doctrine of the Word of God. Don't cut corners with doctrine or its application. Don't use faulty material like wood, hay, and straw. If we don't avail ourselves to build our spiritual life up with and the spiritual life of others with sound doctrine, it will result in lives that will come crashing down in ruin. There will be loss of reward in this life, loss of the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. So many Christians are miserable and not enjoying the joy of the Lord because they are lousy spiritual carpenters. They are using the wrong material, and they're using faulty tools rather than those supplied to us in the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 12 to 16, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, we read this exhortation from the Apostle Paul. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. These are the building materials that we need. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, that you're building a sound spiritual building, that you are building a sound spiritual life. Take heed, verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Those kinds of lives built with spiritually sound material will be safe and will endure the test of time. The believer wears a lot of hats, but the wonderful thing about it is that the Holy Spirit does all the training and all the equipping for every task and every responsibility. All we must do is be willing to say, "Here am I." The body of believers that will make up the bridal company will be those believers who have availed themselves to the grace of God that has enabled them to be faithful, successful pilgrims, ambassadors, soldiers, athletes, farmers, and builders.